So Psalm 23, we'll read it all and then we'll pray and get into it. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just pray before we start. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here tonight. Help us, Father, to be listening to you and not to me, Lord. Be working through me, be speaking to these people and to me. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 23 is probably one of the best known passages in the Bible. A lot of unsaved people can quote it. I had a boss who could quote Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer, and those that he knew. And he'd not really been to church, but he knew them just from just being in the world. He'd heard them enough from different people. So it's a very well-known passage, but it is a passage that God's really been bringing me back to again and again the last few weeks. And I'm not 100% sure why, but I'm just going to talk to you about the things that God's been talking to me about tonight. Now, first of all, Psalm 23, I love that you can almost split it up into little bits. The first three verses or so, you can talk about the comfort that the sheep have with the shepherd, the safety that they have with the shepherd. And then if you go to the end of verse 4, it talks about the rod and the staff, and we can talk about the correction. There's correction with the shepherd. And then down at the end of the passage in verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we can see there's certainty with the shepherd as well. It's such a comforting passage, this. But in the middle of it all, it talks about the rod and the staff. And the rod and the staff aren't necessarily a comfort to sheep. When David was writing this, there's two different schools of thought, I guess, as to when it was written. Some people say that it was written at the very beginning of our knowledge of David, when he was a shepherd. He was sitting in the field and he wrote this out. The other one is pretty much the exact opposite, and they say that David wrote it almost on his deathbed, just as he was finishing up everything in I think they said about 1000 BC. Right at the end of everything, he was getting ready to hand the throne over to Solomon, and he wrote this out. And it's almost more comforting to me to think of it that way, when David looks back on his life and he says, God has really looked after me. And you can almost see David remembering times in his life when he writes these verses, when he writes, like, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Like Chris was saying this morning, David spent time in Ziklag, in the Philistine country. He was surrounded by his enemies, but God kept him safe. Like we heard, there was no one lost in that story that Chris told us this morning. They got everybody back, and God was looking after him. Psalm 23 is written in the language that the people of the time would understand. He talks about shepherds and sheep, and if there's one thing the Israelites knew, it was shepherds and sheep. They could understand the safety that a sheep had with a good shepherd. Not just with any shepherd, it talks about hirelings in the Bible as well, and we don't want those for our shepherds, but a good shepherd, the sheep here have no cause to worry. Whether it's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, whether it's beside the still waters, the sheep is okay. And I really like that David talks about us as sheep. The Bible talks about us as sheep a lot, and there's a couple different reasons, but the main one is sheep are dumb. Sheep are just dumb. And all the sheep can see is the grass in front of him, and occasionally the legs of the shepherd. The sheep can't see what's over the hill. He can't make informed decisions for himself. The sheep has to rely on the shepherd for his safety and for his comfort. And that's what we need to do with our shepherd, with God. We need to make sure that he's in control. When we try and control ourselves, it's the same as a sheep that tries to control himself. And they're the ones that we hear about in the stories, off the side of the cliff, or stuck in the mud, or in the water where the wool drags them down, because they weren't close to the shepherd. But tonight, what we really want to talk about, just for a little bit, is in verse 4. At the end of the verse, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I want to talk about the comfort that is in the corrections of the shepherd. Now, often we don't think about having a great time when we're being corrected. I don't like being told I'm wrong or being physically reminded that I'm wrong when I was smaller and my dad had to remind me that I couldn't do the things that I was doing. There was a time when we were in Victoria that my dad came to me and he said, "Did you try and climb the church building?" I said, "What? Wait, what? No." He said, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, pretty sure. Wasn't me." He said, "All right, well, there's muddy footprints up the side of the building, and you're the only kid that doesn't wear shoes." So I knew I'd been done, and I got corrected. I got corrected fairly, but I did not enjoy it. It was not a comforting experience to be corrected for trying to climb the church building. But it taught me a lesson. It taught me that there are boundaries, and one of them is the church building's roof. You don't go on that. You just leave it alone. My father had to use some correction. Now, when we look at this verse here, it says, David says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, it's interesting that these are two different words. When we go into the Hebrew of it, it doesn't say thy staff and thy staff. It actually is two different words. So the rod is more an idea of a walking stick that the shepherd would use. So the shepherd would use that to walk with himself. And also, I was talking to Pastor just before, to defend the flock against external threats. So that might be what David used a little bit with the lion and the bear. But he also used it to walk. And then the staff is the one that we see in the pictures all the time with the big hook on it. So that was to protect the sheep from themselves. Now God has to protect us from both of those things, from external threats and from threats that we kind of bring upon ourselves. And you can almost imagine that at the same time when the sheep are walking, the shepherd can choose which one he wants to use. The shepherd might be a little bit out of line and the sheep might be out of line. Did I say shepherd? It's going to happen a lot. Just be prepared for that rest of the night. The sheep might be out of line a little bit and the shepherd can just nudge him with his walking stick, get back in line, go over there, and then you're okay. But if that sheep keeps going back, the shepherd's going to have to use something a bit more strong. You're going to have to use the staff, something with a bit more heft to it. Something that's literally going to drag you back by your neck, which is what happens quite often with us spiritually. So we're going to look at a couple things here tonight. The first one, we want to talk about why the rod and the staff bring comfort. So the first reason, the rod and the staff bring comfort because it means and it shows that God is watching us. He's paying attention to us. He sees when we're going off track. Let's go to Hebrews and chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read a few verses here. We'll start in verse 5 of Hebrews 12. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." So we see in this passage that chastening equals love. Chastening is what makes us remember, makes us realize that somebody loves us. If someone doesn't care about us, they're not going to correct us. And also, the other end of that, if God doesn't chasten us, we need to take a really long, hard look at ourselves and go, is there something wrong with me? Am I really saved? Or am I so far away that I don't want God to reach me, that I'm away from the corrections that God has or is willing to use on me? If someone else's kid misbehaves, I'm not as worried about it. I'm not going to correct them as much. But if my little kid misbehaves, wherever he's gone, which he doesn't do very much yet, but I'm preparing myself for it. He pretty much just crawls around and gets into stuff that I don't want him to right now. But I'm going to have to deal with that later because I love him. And because Abby told me a saying the other day that said something like, if you don't correct your child now, a policeman will do it later. And it's a scary thing to think, if I'm not a good enough shepherd, protector of my child, later on, someone else is going to have to do my job, and they're not going to do it as lovingly. So it's much better to get chastisement, to get judgment, to get correction from someone who loves you than it is from someone who is just doing their job. So if we are God's children, he will correct us. We know in the story of David that he was corrected a couple different times. The main one we think of is with Bathsheba and with Nathan coming to him and going, "Thou art the man." And I love that David immediately repents. And he doesn't throw up any pride, and he doesn't throw up any excuses. He gets it right, which is so important, because when we think about David, I was talking to Abby about it this morning, I love that David has flaws that we know of, and he's still called a man after God's own heart. We think of someone like Joseph, who had no flaws that we know of, didn't say anything bad, didn't have any bad attitudes, didn't lie in the Bible that we know of. But David was a man that got into trouble. He was a man that made mistakes. And God was willing to bring him back every time. David always repented. And at the end of his life, God still said he was a man after God's own heart. That was God that said that, which is an amazing thing. I don't know if God can say that about any of us. And even with all the things that David did, I don't think any of us are going to murder anybody. We're not going to do such a dramatic thing. But David was still a man after God's own heart because of his repentance. Let's go to Proverbs in chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3 is a very well-known little passage that I learned as a child, but I didn't always apply. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, no earthly shepherd can watch all his sheep at once. But our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Shepherd, can do that. And he can have all his attention on all of us all the time. And that's something we forget. And we sometimes, I don't know whether we make the conscious decision to sin, or we just forget that God is watching me as I'm doing this thing right now. And that's a terrifying thought to bring to your remembrance while you're sinning. God's watching me do this. I mean, the fact that God is watching us all the time is what makes him a good shepherd. He knows when we're about to go astray, he can bring us back. So firstly, God is paying attention. God is watching us. Secondly, the reason that there is comfort in the correction is that it means that God is near. God is close enough to us that he can correct us. Okay? Let's go to Psalm 145. I don't remember what this passage is. Psalm 145, oh, okay. And verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." Now, the sheep don't have many defense mechanisms. The sheep are a grade A prey. There's not much that they can do to protect themselves. If they're attacked or if they're lost, we talked about once in youth group about the difference between prey and predators. And the predators have the eyes at the front because they're looking to kill something. And the prey have the eyes on the side of their heads so they can watch for something that's coming to get them from different ways, right? So you can kind of check. You can see, is this thing trying to kill me? You look at its eyes. Not always. Don't do that. But a sheep has his eyes on the side of his head. A sheep is not very good at defending himself. The only thing the sheep has that he can, the only thing a sheep has going in his favor, blah, 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 is he can bleat really loud, right? He can cry for help, which is how a shepherd finds the sheep. The sheep has to cry out to the shepherd to get anywhere. Otherwise, the sheep is going to stay stuck in the thorns or in the mud, wherever it is, and it's going to die there. So as Christians, as God's sheep, we need to be calling on God. We need to be making sure that we're close enough to God that he can hear us when we yell. Because if we drift away, if we're gone, we're going to call out to God one day, and we're going to be so far away that God may have given us over to a reprobate mind, and we may be stuck in the mud. So in this verse it says, he will also hear their cry and will save them. That's a promise. We cry to God, he will save us. He will get us out of the trouble that we're in because he's close enough to us if we're his children. Let's go now to John and chapter 14. John 14. And we're going to go to verse 16. Now, this is Jesus speaking here. If you have a red letter Bible, that's what it's going to be. In verse 16, actually, we'll start in verse 15. Jesus says in John 14, 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth," am I going here? Yes. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." So we see here once again that the Holy Spirit is with us, he is in us. So we have somebody near. When we are corrected, we know it's because there's somebody close by. There's somebody that's looking out for us, that's trying to make sure we're on the right track. And the other end of that is that we are near enough that God can wallop us if we need it. We're near enough that God can say, "Come here with the big stick and drag us back," or smack us, or break our leg, like we heard the other day, or I think it might have been last Sunday, about the shepherd breaking the leg of the sheep to bring it back in to the fold. We don't want to get to that point. We don't want to get to the point where God uses the little stick and uses the little stick and uses the little stick, and then he has to use the big stick and he has a big baseball swing. And then he has to carry us for a while because we've got a broken leg. We need to be careful that we're listening to the corrections that God has, because the corrections will escalate if we don't. So, the last one we're going to look at tonight is the rod and staff bring comfort, because we need to remember that God, that the shepherd, can see further down the road than we can. Now, a sheep is only about this big. They're not very big, so all they can see is a little bit in front of them, okay? Now, they need a shepherd, because a shepherd stands on two legs and looks further out and goes, "Well, over there, there's a lot of thorns, so we're going to go this way. Or over there is mud, we're not going to go there. Or over there is a lion's den, and we don't want to go anywhere near that." But a sheep doesn't know that. All a sheep knows is, "There's grass right here, and I'm going to eat it hard," all right? So he's got to have somebody looking after him to go, "You know what, that's actually not the best grass. I'll nudge you a bit this way, I'll correct you a little bit, you can go this way a little bit, and we'll go around the problems that are coming." God's corrections may put us where God wants us in the future. We talked a little bit in Sunday school this morning about Joshua. And before Joshua was the leader, he was the servant of Moses. And God was preparing him through the things that he did, through the battles that he fought, through spying on Canaan, to be the next leader. And God is preparing us for things that he has coming in the future that we can't see yet. All we need to do is have faith in the shepherd that's guiding us. If we don't have faith in the shepherd, then we're going to wander off like sheep often do. God knows where we need to be. And even if we don't understand what the correction is for, we need to take the adjustment in our course and move accordingly to that, because we don't know what God is moving us around in the future. God may move us enough that we miss something that could have been terrible. When I was working at my first locksmith job in Gladstone, God made it possible and made it clear that I should move up here to do the locksmithing work. And I talked to my boss down there, and he said, "That's a good idea, you can go." And I left, and about 2 weeks later, my old boss called me up and said, "Man, things have gone downhill real fast. People are getting laid off, they're not getting paid, they're shutting down some of the shops, and all kinds of terrible things are happening. But because I allowed God to maneuver me a little bit on a different path, I got past that obstacle. I didn't have to go unemployed for a little while or anything like that." God knows where we need to be, and he is constantly making little adjustments of us so that we can be exactly where we need to be. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Oops, that's not Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 5. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Something that's very hard for us to do in this day and age, it feels like, is to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We have so many other things to trust in. We have so many safety nets that we can fall back on. We don't really have to trust in God with all of our heart. We can also trust a little bit in welfare if we lose our job, or we can trust a little bit in the airbags in the car just if we have an accident. We have all these other things that we put our trust in, but the Bible doesn't say that. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. We don't need to have our trust in anything else. And the trust that we have in other things takes away from the trust that we can have in God. As a shepherd, as a sheep, you have to have trust in the shepherd. As a sheep, you can't look after yourself. You have to make sure the shepherd is paying attention and is near to you and can see what's coming, and we know he's going to look after us. The other thing to remember is God doesn't chasten us without a reason. God isn't just going to punish us because he likes to see us suffer. There's always going to be a reason for what God does to us, all right? Now, I love that if we can go back to Psalm 23, and we'll have a look at a couple more things. Psalm 23 and verse 4, the first part of the verse that talks about the rod and the staff talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know what that looks like for a sheep. It could be butchers, not really sure. But the valley of the shadow of death is about the scariest name for a place I can think of. And the sheep, which are easily scared, sheep are easily frightened of things. I like watching those videos where the sheep are running in a massive flock. Is it flock of sheep? Herd of sheep? Gang of sheep? Flock, it is flock. That's a really boring one. I should think of a better one. A flock of sheep, and one of them jumps. And then the next one behind jumps, and the next one behind jumps. And there's nothing there, but they all just start jumping because they're scared there's something underneath them. You guys ever seen that? You're on the wrong parts of YouTube, guys. Come on. Sheep are easily scared. They need to be paying attention to the shepherd, because if they're left to themselves, they're going to freak out. The other thing that I like watching is goats. You can see funny goat videos, the screaming goats, the fainting goats. Sometimes we're a little bit like goats as well. And we're about to go down the big slide, and we freak out, and we faint, and we slide down the slide. We need to be aware that we are dumb creatures, that we don't see the whole picture. If we are trusting in ourselves or in the world's wisdom, we're going to end up in the prickles. We're going to end up in the mud, and the shepherd's going to have to pull us out. But if we let the shepherd correct us as we're going, we're going to go around a lot more obstacles than we fall into. Now, like it said in Hebrews, no correction, it seems grievous. Let's actually go back there, and then we'll finish up in Hebrews 12, because I don't want to quote it wrong. Okay, Hebrews 12 and verse 11. I got it the wrong way around. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. This is the goal. This is what we want. We want to get to the end, like David did, and have our tree yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, because we allowed ourselves to be chastened and we listened to the chastening. Now, we can respond to chastening one of two ways. We can put on more pairs of trousers and see if the chastening doesn't hurt as much, and we can steel ourselves and go, I'm not going to feel anything, you're not going to make me cry. Or we can go, I need to learn something from this. This is going to hurt a lot, but I'm going to remember it more because it hurts. If we do the latter, then we get what is in the end of verse 11 there. We get the fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. This is the end goal. This is what David got at the end of his life. I love that David could get to the end of his life and still write this. So often we see people get older and get bitter and angry at things, but we don't see that from David. We see David. I'm not saying anyone here is that. I'm not saying anyone here is bitter, but I'm just... David is the opposite. David seems to be getting softer and he's more loving, and he's writing these psalms about the shepherd that looks after him. And he looks after all of Israel, but there's someone looking after him and keeping him on the straight and narrow and calling him out on the things that he does. So let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here tonight. Help us, Lord, to be thinking on these things and to be remembering why we're here, Lord, and why you came. In Jesus' name, amen.